We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. How many of you are looking forward to an enjoyable weekend? You've already made plans to be in the house of God. You are going to be worshiping Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I pray that you make that a priority. If you do not have a church where you worship in, we would love to invite you to Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway, basically two blocks east of Tropical Trail, two blocks south of Merritt Park Place. We are right in the middle of all of those primary and secondary roads. And so if those landmarks don't help you get there, type it into your GPS or let your smartphone help you. There, you can find Merit Assembly of God. I used to think that, man, God, this church is not in a great location. And then one day we had a free yard sale, and there were people who were lined up. They were lined up dozens deep waiting to get in. And I said, you know what? They can find us if they want to. And so we would love to have you come and join us. God has just been so good to us. Our facilities some of them are being renovated room by room. And so others have already been renovated. And we've got just a lot of projects that we have that are constantly going on. We're continuing to improve the facility to make it as user-friendly as we possibly can. So if you come and visit us, recognize we are a work in progress, and we're thankful for that work in progress. So come out and visit with us this Sunday morning. I'm going to be preaching a message. Last week I started a message on the culture of Abraham's house, that it was a household of faith. And the faith was found in him, faith was found in his wife, faith was found in Isaac. So this week we're going to be talking about another aspect of the culture of his house, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to be sharing what I believe to be a powerful, powerful word. So happens 10:30 Sunday morning, and then Sunday night we will have grow groups. Those will be at our house at 6:30. So I'm going to take you back to Genesis chapter 49 and verse number 28. I may only be reading the one passage today. If time allows, then we may move on and share something else. But this one verse is going to deal with a topic not a lot of people talk about anymore, but it's still one of the Ten Commandments. Okay, verse number 28. All these are the 12, this is Genesis 49, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel, and this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. Now, when we've been going through Genesis 49, we have been talking primarily about Joseph, because this really was a study on the life of Joseph. And, you know, like I said in another broadcast, you probably feel like you've got a master's degree in Joseph's life by the time that you get done here. But Joseph wasn't the only one that got blessed. He blessed each one of the sons, all 12 tribes of Israel, and Genesis 49 records what he spoke to them, and it said, and he blessed them. He blessed them. If I can take you back Isaac said that he had blessed Jacob. Esau came in and he said, bless me too, my father. And Isaac said, but I only had one blessing to give, and I've already given it to Jacob, and he will truly be blessed. I want to tell you today that God's bigger than that. God's bigger than just one blessing. He's bigger than just blessing one church. He's bigger than just blessing one man or one woman. The promise to Abram was, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. Now, I don't want God just to make me a blessing without fulfilling the first part of that, where it is, he says, I will bless you. I also don't want the first part of the blessing to be true without the latter part of the blessing being true. I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. When Ishmael was born and God came and spoke to Abraham, and he said, about this time next year you're going to have a son. And Abraham began to cry out and said, oh, that Ishmael might live under your blessing. And God's response was quite simply this, because you have asked for this, I will do this. I will bless Ishmael. He will be blessed, but my covenant will be with Isaac. In other words, there was going to be a blessing, and there was going to be an even greater blessing. There was going to be the blessing of covenant. So today I want you to know that you are not having to beg or compete with other Christians for the blessing of God. God has a blessing for every one of us. Not just for Christians, but he has a blessing that he has made available even for non-believers. In the New Testament, it describes that in the book of Acts, that the first blessing, the primary blessing, the initial blessing is a heart of repentance, of turning away from our sin and turning to God. So one of the epistles in the New Testament says that there are certain people that if they are not embracing the scriptures, that we are not to say to them, Godspeed, or may God make you very successful and quick in your journey of success in accomplishing something that is against his will. We're not supposed to say that. But any person that I run in contact with, I can say this, may God bless you. Now, let me tell you what I'm praying when I say that. If there is a person that is not a believer in Jesus Christ and I say, God bless you, I'm not asking God to bless them in their life of sin. I'm not asking God to bless them in their folly or in their sexual immorality. That's not what I'm praying. I am praying, God, would you bless them with a heart of repentance? Would you bless them with a change of heart? Would you bless them with a change of mind? Would you bless them by transforming them and making them into the image of Christ? So I can pray for anybody, believer or unbeliever, God bless them. God bless them. I can also pray for a believer and say, God, would you bless them? And not with a generic blessing, but with a custom blessing, a personalized blessing. If you look here, it says, and he blessed them. So whenever we see a brother or a sister in Christ get blessed, we are supposed to rejoice with them. Because guess what? If my blessing hasn't shown up yet, yes, it's true that I've been blessed with a heart of repentance, but if the tangible blessing, if the thing I've been praying for hasn't come to pass yet, and somebody else has got that, I'm not going to be bitter like the people at the pool of Bethesda, where only one person got blessed with healing and that was it. But instead, I'm going to say, God, I want to thank you because the fact that they just got blessed is evidence that you have not retired from the blessing business. You are still in the bless. God, if they just got blessed with a promotion, if they just got blessed with a new job, if they just got blessed with a raise, God, thank you for blessing them, because I know their heart for you. I know their compassion for you, their desire to be a blessing. And God, I'm just so thankful that you blessed them, that I know my blessing is coming. Okay. Let me take you to chapter 49, and I will tell you this. The blessings began with Reuben. Then they went to Simeon, and then to Levi. They went to Judah. By the way, Judah was blessed with the scepter, with the authority. In verse number 15, Zebulun was blessed. In verse 14, Issachar was blessed. In verse 16, Dan was blessed. In verse number 19, Gad was blessed. 20, Asher. 21, Naphtali. And what if after all of that, you know, Benjamin is the last one. If after all of those 10 other tribes were being blessed, what if Joseph had said, you know what, this is just so unfair. This is just not right. Everybody else is getting blessed, but I haven't got blessed yet. Everybody, and he was just going right down through the order, but Joseph hadn't been blessed yet. Benjamin hadn't been blessed yet. And I tell you, one of the most dangerous things that can happen for Christians is when we see others getting blessed and we end up getting discouraged because we think we've been overlooked, we've been ignored or sat on the shelf, and our blessing isn't coming. I want you to know, wait upon the Lord. Your blessing, Joseph's blessing, was superior to every other tribe's blessing except for Judah, because Jesus was going to come from the tribe of Judah. Okay? But I want you to know, don't get discouraged. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Some of you have done everything right. Now, I'm just going to get real transparent with you here. Some of you have done everything right, and you have watched as people who did not live by the same standard have gotten blessed before you. And you can tend to get discouraged, because it could be, you know, they're driving the new car and you're still driving the old car. They're living in the new house and you're still renting some place that you don't really think is all that great. They just got married and you haven't yet. They just had a child and you didn't. Now I'm going to tell you that those sorts of discouraging things do not just happen in other people's lives. Sometimes they can happen in pastors' hearts and lives as well. I've been pastoring the church for 22 and a half years. Friend of mine pastored a church, moved away, came back, moved to the area. He was pastoring a church that had been very, very small. We actually supported that church with missions giving. And so he came back. I was talking to him one day, and I said, well, how is the church doing? And he's like, you know, it's going okay. And come to find out, now it had been running 12 or 14. And then all of a sudden I finally got him to say, well, you know, are you still running down about that low? And he said, no. And they had been blessed numerically far above anything that we had ever experienced. And it was like, well, praise God. Praise God that the kingdom is growing there. Praise God that things are happening. But there was also something that was going on in my heart and in my life, and it said, God, what about me? What about Merit Assembly of God? What about our church? God, we we've been faithful to do the things that you've told us to do. We're faithful to give. We're faithful to honor you. God, when is our blessing coming? And I want you to know our time is coming. Our time is coming. We see the hand of God working. We see the blessing of God. So I just want to encourage you, don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. That wasn't the only time I've ever battled something like that. There was a time very early where things were just not progressing at a very quick rate. And I was like, God, you got to do something. You got to do something. If you don't do something, I'm not going to survive. And I want you to know that if I'd quit because of discouragement, I would have missed out on some of the most incredible supernatural blessings that have ever taken place in our life. I would have missed out on transformational blessings of people's lives being transformed. I would have missed out on some incredible relationships that God has blessed me with. Don't get discouraged. If your blessing hasn't arrived yet, if it hasn't been pronounced yet, don't get discouraged, because Jacob didn't leave anybody out, and neither will God. Now, the next thing it says, and he blessed each one according to his own blessing. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. What I wanted to talk to you today was about guarding your heart against covetousness. Guarding your heart against covetousness. Because what can happen is when we see other people's blessings, we want that blessing, but that blessing for us would not be a blessing. It just wouldn't. You know, if you blessed me with something that I had to be, you know, 6'6" in order to reach, that wouldn't be a blessing. That would be a liability for me, because I'm not that tall. It's going to be a blessing that is customized for you. And what can happen many times is our hearts, even though thou shalt not covet, is one of the Ten Commandments. Every once in a while, we can see what is going on in somebody else's life and say, man, I wish I had that. I wish that was, well, you know what? For you, that might not be a blessing. That might be a liability. Listen to what it says about coveting, okay? This is in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Okay? I don't know if you've ever gone, I'll be honest with you, I don't go driving around looking at houses. I just don't. The reason is because this, if whatever we set before our eyes, it creates a longing in our heart. And so if I go around and I start looking at what other people have, it's going to make me fail to appreciate what I currently do have. Or it's going to cause me not to appreciate what I currently do have. So I don't want to covet my neighbor's house. If my neighbor's got a nice house, I want to say, God, thank you for blessing them a nice house. If it's paid for. You know, it's not paid for. My prayer is this: God, thank you for not blessing me with the size of mortgage payment that they've got on their house. I do a lot of watching of home improvement shows, and a lot of times I see them and they're looking. The people are saying something like this: we just need to get into a different part of town, and this is what we need to sell our house for so that we can buy a house that is even more expensive. And this thought came to me. It's like, oh my goodness, it is true that they got a nicer house, but they just also took on an extra $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 worth of debt. And I want you to know that for me wouldn't be a blessing. A blessing for me is the fact that my car is paid off. A blessing for me is when things are not going out, that the expenses have been curtailed. So I don't want to be coveting my neighbor's house. I don't want to be coveting my neighbor's wife. Don't be coveting their relationship. T.D. Jakes, I was watching him a little over a week ago, and he said, some people are drawn only to married people because they aren't into the process of development. They just want the finished product. Well, I'm here to tell you that if you start coveting your neighbor's wife and not appreciating your own wife, it's going to weaken your kingdom. David had a mighty man. It's listed as one of David's mighty men. His name was Uriah the Hittite. He wasn't even Jewish, but he loved God, and he loved the kingdom of God, and he loved David, and he loved fighting for the kingdom of God, and he loved his wife. But he is one of David's mighty men. David coveted Uriah's wife, ended up getting her pregnant, and then tried to deceive Uriah into thinking that the child was his. And the reality was Uriah had more integrity than David did at that point in his life. And David ended up having Uriah killed. And the reality is this: David weakened his own kingdom by his own covetousness. He killed one of his mighty men, one of the guys who stood with him and fought battles with him, and he took him out because he fell prey to coveting. Don't covet his male servant or his female servant. So I'm not here to covet someone else's employees. I'm not here. I'm not looking to covet the people that are getting saved at other people's churches. You know what I am coveting? I'm desiring for people to be saved and transformed and growing and developing and having the spiritual DNA that is uniquely Merit Assembly of God. That's what I'm looking. I am looking to recreate. I'm looking to develop people's lives. Not always coveting what somebody else has, but instead looking to develop. And it says, not his ox or his donkey nor anything. I'm not here to covet anybody's tools. I'm not here to covet anybody's job. I am thankful for where God has placed me. Okay? So do not allow the devil to think that your blessing, because it doesn't resemble somebody else's blessing, is an inferior blessing. Yours was customized for you by God. I was in a workshop at a conference this last weekend. It was actually a week ago today. And there was a guy, and he said, man, when I heard this one preacher preach, and he said, and I'm a preacher, and he said, God, why didn't you give me that gift? And he said, I felt like God spoke to me, and he said, I did give you that gift. I didn't give it to you to use. I gave that gift to you through that relationship so that you could enjoy the blessings that I have blessed his life with. You see, when we realize we are not in competition for each other's blessings, when we're not coveting each other's blessings, then we can enjoy the blessing of God, the grace of God that he has poured out on other people's lives. I pray that the blessing that God has given to me is a blessing to you, that you are able to enjoy it, that you are able to partner with us, and that it's just a blessing. My blessing is not a Calvary Chapel blessing. My blessing's not the same as First Baptist of Merritt Island or East Coast Christian Center or fill in the blank church. My blessing is to pastor Merritt Assembly of God and see people transformed. You see, they're one of my things that, as I heard somebody define it, this that I define as a win is when there's a person who is discipled in their faith, and they go out and they begin to utilize that gift for the glory of God. I consider that a win. We had a family. Mom gave her heart to the Lord. Kids gave her heart to the Lord. The dad was a holdout, really incredible guy. Just hadn't committed his life to Jesus. Finally, he gave his heart to Jesus, and it was just a couple of months later, and bam, they got transferred out of the area, and you know, our numbers shrank. This is the problem with looking at statistics and only thinking that what the bank balance shows or what the attendance sheet shows, that that's the only metric you use. You see, it is true that our numbers shrank that year, and our offering, this was a long time ago, our offerings went down, but the reality was the kingdom of God had grown, and those people went on to be a blessing in their church. You see, that wasn't a loss, it was a kingdom win. We were able to be a blessing to someone's spiritual life and see transformation. Paul, in the book of Philippians, he describes a secret that he had in his life. Not many people knew his secret, and so the Holy Spirit said, I want you to write this this out so that people who don't even know you currently, that they will know what your secret was later in life. And that is this. Let me look at the clock here. We're in good shape. This is Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had learned the secret of being content wherever God had him. And so today, I just want to close out and pray and let you know you're not forgotten. You are blessed, but it's not a cookie cutter blessing. It is a unique blessing handcrafted by God for you and for the rest of the body of Christ to be able to enjoy your utilizing God's blessing. Father, thank you that you love us enough that you care. You know each of us by name. You know exactly what we need when we need it. And I pray today, God, that your custom blessings would arrive for each one of your saints. Lord, may this weekend be transformative. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We will see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more.